the show today, we have the fabulous Tarpley Hewitt back in the studio to chat all things mortgages and investments. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome along to another Monday. If you're listening live, the rain has hit Auckland, but boy, did we need it, and we can't complain after such a beautiful weekend. If you're listening on the podcast, who knows what the weather's doing today, I guess, but very delighted. I said last week to Jamie James, I said, we've got our three fantastic investment gurus and leaders over the last 3 weeks. We kicked it off with Nicole Lewis talking about no money deals. Last week, Jamie James giving lots of financial health and wealth advice, and I loved that combination. And this week, to bring the trifecta in, it's the fabulous Tarpley Hewitt, our resident mortgage broker. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back, Stephen.
Well, that's great to have you back. How have you been since we last caught up?
Been really good. I have just become a grandmother.
Oh, exciting.
Expensive. So exciting. Yeah, definitely.
And tell us what's been happening in your business space since we last caught up.
So yes, business has started to pick up, which is great. We have a lot more applications in the pipeline, people building their confidence to purchase property. I mean, we had last year quite a few buyers in the market just sitting on their pre-approvals, hoping that interest rates would decrease even more. For us, we are saying to them, you know, there's never a right time, but we feel there's so much stock on the market, interest rates have decreased significantly, and now is a great time to get on the property ladder.
You mentioned people sitting on their pre-approvals. How long does a pre-approval last for? And is it easily renewed, or do you start the whole process again?
A pre-approval generally lasts for 90 days. You can renew it once with just obtaining minimal information, just updating pay slips and things like that. But thereafter, after the 6 months, you need to go through the full application process again. So what we say, and what I've started to do now, is actually ask people what their timeframes are. If they are ready to go, then we will seek the pre-approval, we'll obtain the pre-approval on their behalf. But if they're not quite ready, then we want to understand why that is and what that looks like.
So perhaps they're clearing off some final debts, etc. You'd say, hang fire and come to us when you're ready to go.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And since we last caught up, have you seen a change in the lending space when it comes to banks? You know, we went through some interesting times a couple of years ago with what they were looking for or approving. What is it like at the moment?
We've seen a significant change with the bank's approval process. So one thing that definitely springs to mind and makes a massive difference when it comes to affordability is the stress test rates. So when customers are applying for a loan, the bank have a test rate that they apply. About 6 months ago, it was around about 8.95%. Now the test rate has dropped to 7.25%. So this is a significant change in that people can afford to borrow more. Also, people that weren't able to get onto the property ladder purely because of affordability, now reassessing their finances, they can actually afford. Yeah, they can afford to get on the property ladder, which is great.
When you say the stress test at 7 or 8%, what does that 7 or 8% mean?
Yep, so the 7 or 8% is the difference between a customer. So let me give you an example, Stephen. So we've got a household income of $200,000, and now they can afford $1.3 million, or just over $1.3 million, whereas when the stress test rates were at 9%, it was like $200,000 less.
Yeah.
So a significant difference.
Especially if you're buying in our big cities.
Yeah.
That's quite significant.
So now it's around about 6 to 7 times, not quite 7 times the income, whereas previously at the 8.95% was around about 5 to 5.5%. 5.5 times your income.
So is now a good time for first home buyers? Let's focus on them for a little bit tonight. Tell us, where's the world sitting for them?
Now is definitely a great time to purchase, purely because there is a lot of stock on the market. at present. So they've got, our first home buyers have a lot to choose from. There's not as much competition. People are still sitting on the fence, like in terms of their pre-approvals are still hanging back. We don't want our first home buyers to experience what they experienced back in late 2020 and 2021, where the market just went nuts. Interest rates reduced down to 2.5%, and therefore a lot more affordability, a lot more people on the property ladder, a lot more competition, and yeah, that created a frenzy, and that house prices just skyrocketed.
So if someone's listening and starting to just have that first step on getting on the ladder there, what should they be thinking about? How do they prepare for their first mortgage or first mortgage application?
So first and foremost, what I've said is speak to your mortgage advisor. Speak to a mortgage advisor and speak to them about your specific financial situation. So we have had people trying to save their deposits and not sure if their income was, was meeting the bank criteria. And, they've been waiting for 6 months to 1 year, and yet they were ready a year ago. So what we say, first and foremost, is speak to a mortgage advisor, understand what you need for your particular situation. So what we say is KiwiSaver, if you're first starting out employment, make sure you join your KiwiSaver and your employer will contribute 3% of the KiwiSaver. If you can, increase your KiwiSaver contributions. It's compulsory savings. You can't get it out unless you buy your first home or retirement or cases of hardship, which we don't want to see. So that's first and foremost. Also, living off one income, so saving for your deposit, having a look at whether you can move home with parents or relatives, let them know what your financial goal is. So that is really key. That is one thing that I did when I was first starting out, and I see a lot of people who are wanting to jump on the first home buyer's property ladder. What they're doing is moving in with parents, resetting their finances, living off one income, and saving one income.
I spoke to a friend the other day whose kids are still home in their mid-20s, and I made the comment, oh, what's that like? They said, well, we didn't have spare cash to give them towards a deposit, but we wanted to help. So we said, you can live here rent-free and we'll feed you. That's our contribution to your deposit. Yes. And you've got 5 years of that. And I thought, actually, that's a really cool way of looking at it.
It is a really cool way.
It is a way of parents helping it with a deposit.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Agree.
Are you noticing, not just young people, I guess anybody, are they over-researching these days before buying? Like, are we still quite cautious?
Very cautious. And this just comes back to the previous example I used, in that they're wanting to save, try and get to the 20% deposit when actually they probably don't need to. And if they wait till they get to the 20% deposit, potentially house prices are going to increase significantly over the next couple of years, and it's going to be a lot harder for them to get onto the property ladder. So what I'm saying is encouraging all our potential first-time buyers is speak to your mortgage advisor and understand what your financial situation is at the moment. Understand the implications of waiting to get to the 20%. But usually it's just confidence. Our first home buyers need to be nurtured throughout the home buying process, and that's what we do, at Hewitt Mortgages, is we help our first home buyers, because it is a nerve-wracking situation.
Yeah, absolutely. What sort of documents and preparation do they need to do if they're thinking, they save the deposit, they've got the KiwiSaver perhaps, now what? What else do you need?
So proof of deposit, that's the KiwiSaver, obtaining a KiwiSaver eligibility letter from their KiwiSaver provider, showing the proof of savings, genuine savings, and employment. So making sure that you've got 3 years history of employment. We do have clients that come in that have, just come from university and they've started their job. They've been in their role for, let's say, 6 months, for example. And as long as they provide a copy of their employment contract and they can demonstrate affordability and stability, then the banks will definitely look at it. So that's one thing. If you're self-employed, is making sure you can provide proof of your income. So that's providing financials for at least a minimum of 2 years. There are some banks that will request 12 months. But it is all case-by-case basis, and it depends on how much you're producing in terms of income. And the other thing is your debt, consumer debt. If you are a first-time buyer, we would encourage you to get rid of also the buy now, pay laters, you know, reduce your credit card limits and things like that, because we take 3% of the credit card limit into your affordability. We calculate that into your affordability, and it could mean the difference between borrowing an extra $50,000 to $100,000.
Right, yeah. Right. What if you are looking at your first home, but you're on your own, you're a single person? We've seen some, well, I love the advertising at the moment, because you've got some banks doing adverts of, find, you know, basically your friend, your brother, your sister, someone buying a house together, and then you've got the insurance companies doing ads for contents insurance because you're living with the world's worst flatmate you can't get rid of. I'm like, hang on, they're going each other here. But what do you think about this buying with a friend or a family member? It comes with some risks, perhaps?
It definitely comes with some risks. I think absolutely knowing your friend very well and knowing their financial situation is key. My advice is, if you are looking at partnering up with a friend or family member, it is really key that you understand that you both are going to be jointly and severally liable for the debt, for the mortgage. So if one person doesn't pay, the bank don't care. They'll come after both of you. And, so it's thinking about that situation. I've had people come to us and say to me that they didn't want their friend that they're going into partnership with, they don't want them to know their financial situation. That's a red flag straight away.
Yeah.
Right, so you need to really understand the situation of the person you're going into partnership with. They need to be open and transparent.
Any other tips and tricks for first home buyers?
Tips and tricks for first home buyers is really just spend less than your income. So we are finding, I mean, this day and age, there's so much influence with social media, buy now, pay later, the expensive Gucci bags and clothes, all of that sort of thing. If you're really serious about getting on the property ladder, my suggestion is create a budget. You might do something like save a percentage. Like I said, the example previously was, if you can save one income, great, do that. Otherwise, break it up into percentages, how much you your fixed living costs are versus your how much you can save in terms of your long-term savings, and what percentage you will allocate towards spending.
It's so easy now, though, with the buy now, pay later type zips and all of those things, because just about anything you buy online now suddenly has that option. Never used to be there. It used to be a lot harder. I mean, I was buying tickets to a show the other day, and it was on there for a show, and I was like, really? Mm. And it was Ticketmaster, or somebody had now that buy now or pay off in 4 installments for just a couple of basic show tickets.
Yes.
It's like, that's starting to build up that risk.
It really is. It really starts to build up that risk. Not only that, even if your income was sufficient enough for the banks to, for you to afford this mortgage, you've still got all these extra outgoings. Mm. And for us, what we say is really simplify your finances. Just make it really easy on yourself and make the experience of your first home, a great experience, because when you're getting into your first home, you've still got your insurance to pay, you've got your rates to pay, all of the outgoings, and, it can all add up.
Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about it before, but you and Jamie James are quite a good combo, because somebody can go to Jamie first and do that almost financial roadmap of looking like what are the costs when you take on a house. So it's not just getting the mortgage, as you say, it's the insurance, it's the ability to maintain the building if it's an apartment complex, body corporate costs and things that can rise. So having that sitting down budgeting session is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Understanding the current state of your finances and what the future state could look like when you when you get onto the property ladder. And also the other thing, Stephen, is actually managing expectations in terms of the type of house our clients are looking at.
Yeah.
So some are like, well, actually, can we get an extra $100,000 to purchase this house when, it's just going to cost you each fortnight, cost you a lot more. At the time, it seems like no, we want to take this leap of faith and go into this house. But once they're experiencing the mortgage repayments, it ends up being quite tough sometimes, especially if interest rates change, which is what we've experienced over the last few years.
I mentioned just then the body call. What is apartments a possibility for first-time buyers? Because they often come across as a cheaper option, but then they have far more hidden costs, don't they? All growing costs that you're not always prepared for.
Yeah, absolutely. Apartments are definitely an option for our first-time buyers. It depends on the size of the apartment. Some banks will lend you up to 90% for apartments, but generally 20% is what they look for. What our first home buyers need to be looking at is definitely the body corp fee. Because a lot of these body corp fees can be anywhere from $3,000 every 6 months, you know, and some are a quarter. And although it doesn't seem like much to some people, but when you're actually, again, experiencing paying your mortgage plus all the other outgoings plus this body corp, it can hit home pretty hard.
We've had guests on here before recommend getting the body corp minutes for the building and go back quite a few to see is there any planned maintenance in the years to come. Because I believe once you purchase, you're not liable for anything that had been signed up to prior to that date.
Right.
But if there is a plan, say in a year, to re-roof the building, you're going to get that one.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It can mean an increase, a significant increase in your body corp fees, which you haven't accounted for at all. So it's really understanding what does the future for that building look like. And I would expect that it's going to increase, you know, every time it's the body corp is reviewed. So just be mindful.
Where does it sit with bad credit? If somebody's thinking first home or not, my credit's not the greatest, it's had a blip at some point, might have been paid off. Where does that sit with the banks?
Some banks are open to it, and it depends on how your mortgage advisor puts forward their proposal. So if they put in some mitigants as to why this happened and how they're going to mitigate that risk, you know, mitigate from happening again, then that's what they would put in your proposal. And that's why I say it's best to go to your mortgage advisor, explain what happened previously, why you got into this much debt and why it's sitting on the credit rating. I'm seeing a lot of, let's say, divorce or separation, and it's because it's been sort of drawn out that, you know, couples have gotten into
you pay the credit card, yeah.
That's right. So, and this is, I guess, comes back to your point about partnership, right? And sometimes it has happened when you have been in a partnership, when one person was meant to be paying and then the other person just didn't check, and then it's impacted both credit ratings. So talk to your mortgage advisor and they can proposition your application properly. And it won't always fit the main bank.
Yeah.
It may fit a non-bank, a second tier, and that's not always a bad thing. So it is a short-term solution for a long-term gain, really, in that we will take you to the plan would be to take you to a non-bank if we have to, and then we will refinance you back to we'll have a plan to refinance you back to a main lender. So that's the exit strategy.
So is that kind of, you know, going to a more finance-based company, proving yourself over a year or two?
That's right.
Yeah, and then saying to the bank, look, see, the credit's not an issue.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Oh, cool. I'm guessing higher rates with a non-bank?
Yeah, definitely higher rates. So we're looking at 1% to 2% more. But like I said, we will go through the affordability process. So even though the bank will turn around and say yes, we will still go through repayments with the customer to let you know what it looks like. Yes, and then what the plan is. So there must be an exit strategy in place as to how we're going to refinance you back to a main lender. That is always the goal. 90% of our deals are through main bank. We do 10% of our deals are through non-bank, and again, that is not necessarily a bad thing. It is just a short-term solution.
Which Nicole talked about a couple of weeks ago when she was looking, you know, at different ways to get on the ladder, and if one says no, there's always another door open somewhere else. You've just got to talk, and what I'm hearing is be honest with you about the situation so that you're armed with as much information as possible.
Absolutely. If clients just come at us with everything they have, and of course it's up to your broker to ask as many questions as possible, but we will see a lot of things through your bank statements anyway, so just be upfront and transparent with your broker. Let them know if you've had a bit of a blip in the past, list, so they can, yeah, they can talk to your bank or your lender about that.
We talked a bit about deposits and obviously KiwiSaver and your own family, etc. There was a stage that there used to be a lot of promotion for, I say, home loan grants, like part of Kāinga Ora. Are they still around and accessible for people to access?
So there's no more first-time buyers grant that was taken. Actually, we were given, I think, 24 hours when that was removed. But there is what you call a product of first home loan. So a majority of the main lenders offer that, where you can put down 5% deposit. There is a strict criteria that you have to meet. For example, joint income $150,000 or less, or single $95,000.
Okay.
So there's specific criteria, and if you have 5% deposit and you've got really good income, then get in touch with us and see what your affordability looks like. And like I said, our test rates have decreased, which means you can afford to borrow more.
Now, what about refinancing? So people that have had mortgages for some time, like how often should you be going, am I still getting the best deal? When I know a lot of friends have said, oh, the interest rates are killing me, etc. And yes, I've been referring them to you and saying, well, when did you last get checked? You know, is it a regular thing?
It is. It should be a regular thing. So we have come across a lot of clients who are on the higher interest rate, so just under 7%, and they are obtaining, well, they've come and talk to me as their mortgage advisor and said, listen, this is the repayments are high, how can we reduce them? And so we ask them to get a break fee from the bank, and then we will calculate whether it is worth making the break or not. And then we will restructure their lending. We might do a split mortgage. We might do part of their mortgage longer term, part of their mortgage on shorter term, so we can mitigate the risk with rate rises or decreases.
Now, did I hear correctly the other day, if you are going through hardship and have declared that you're going through hardship, say one of your partners have lost job, etc., there is a possibility of a short holiday from your mortgage?
Yes, definitely. So if there has been a change in your financial circumstances, you need to get onto it straight away. So if your partner's lost your job or there has been some sort of financial impact, get in touch with us as your mortgage advisor. Let us know what's happened. And there are possibilities of applying for an interest only, which is where you're only paying for the cost of the loan. So it can be significantly less each fortnight in terms of your repayments. And yeah, I think the key thing here is just making sure you attack that straight away. Don't ignore it and don't let it,
don't wait till the bank comes knocking.
And there's other solutions, like you said, the repayment holiday for a maximum of 3 months. We will always look at a interest-only opportunity first.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's because if you go onto a repayment holiday, that could cost you more.
Right. And are you noticing more hardship in this current market? Is that a call clients are ringing you about?
Yes, unfortunately, yes, we are noticing a lot of hardship in the market, where clients have lost their jobs and are still on the hunt for work. And and we've managed to talk to them about some options, get them in touch with a particular team. So most of the banks have a hardship, they have a specialised team that help clients through this process, and they have dedicated a specific division of the banks to this, because they have been experiencing a lot more hardship in the market. And they're a lot. Don't be afraid to connect, because they're there to help.
Talk to the experts. That's always the key on this show. Back to that first-time buyers, actually. What other experts, apart from the mortgage broker, who else should they be engaging with, perhaps once they've found that property?
Yep. So once you've found the property, and this is, I guess, the cool thing about coming to your mortgage advisor, is that we will talk you through the first-time buyer process, and then we will connect you to all the experts. For example, a solicitor, which is what you need to do your conveyancing fees when you're purchasing a property, and your insurance advisor. So you had Jamie James on here last week, so we'll put you in touch, connect you with an insurance advisor to make sure you're well protected if anything should happen to yourself and your family, also your employment as well. Real estate agents, so once we've got you pre-approved, we will connect you with our trusted real estate agents as well, who will try and find you a rental property. And I guess being an expert myself in the property field and still active in the market is I can help you with a whole, give you some general advice. But most of the time when I'm advising you on particular situations, obviously not mortgages, I will say to you, you need to get in touch with a solicitor. You need to say this, and I'll just connect you, and then I can actually outline to the solicitor what it is you're asking, because that's what we experience with a lot of first home buyers. They get so overwhelmed with the process. We could explain to them what the process is, but of course it's just too much information sometimes.
If you're a first home buyer, how does it sit with an auction? Does a pre-approval enable you to buy at auction, or is that just too difficult?
With an auction process, you need to be completely unconditional. You need to have all your conditions satisfied. So when you have a pre-approval from a bank, they'll tell you that this is the amount you are approved up to. Let's say $600,000 is the amount they'll lend you. That doesn't mean that they have approved the particular property that you want to go onto, you want to go to auction with. So what we say is that you need to send a copy of the auction agreement and any other information that relates to that particular property. We then send it off to our bank, get them to clear the condition, plus any other conditions that they have on your pre-approval. So for example, with a pre-approval, they might have, you need to have a signed sales and purchase agreement. You need to get rid of this buy now, pay later. So if we clear those conditions prior to going to auction, then, then the bank have approved it. So just remember, just because you have a pre-approval, it doesn't mean that the bank have approved that security.
Don't start waving your hand in an auction room.
Don't start waving the hands.
Does that happen though? Do you get the phone calls from the auction room where someone goes, I've just bought, have you?
I have experienced it once, but lucky we managed to get them through. But we are always very clear with our clients, just because you have a pre-approval, you need to, at every stage, I want to know. So actually, this is one thing that's quite helpful with our service, is that if a client has a pre-approval and they find a house, they've been through the property, they've been to the open home, they've seen the property at least twice, and they're very serious about buying it, get in touch with us and send us the link, and I'll go through and give them my advice in reference to, or my recommendations in reference to the property. And it is only my, my advice based on my experience.
Yeah. But sometimes it's useful to have a non-emotional eye look at it.
Completely. Yeah. And we come across a lot of our clients, of course, who are very emotionally involved with this property, and they want to do whatever it takes to get it. So, yeah.
Brilliant. Is there a processing time difference, I guess, if you're going straight to a bank versus a mortgage broker? And obviously you're opening the doors to more opportunities.
We are definitely opening the doors to more opportunities. So for our clients, we say there's a 7 to 10 working day turnaround time. Every bank is completely different. But remember, when you come to an advisor, we are looking at all of the lenders and what each lender is offering and which specific lender is fit for your situation. So not everybody can go to every lender. We're also saving you time. So a lot of time is saved where if you go to one bank and put through an application, then you're going to have to go to another bank, and nobody has time for that. So, and most of the time it is, it's free advice from us as the mortgage advisor. They don't have to pay. We are paid by our lenders. And if there is a fee payable, we will let you know.
Brilliant. All right, switching gears now, the career of a mortgage broker. What makes a good mortgage broker, do you think?
A good mortgage broker is someone who can communicate clearly, keep our clients updated. So a lot of brokers have lost deals to us and banks because they haven't updated their customers. And I mean, the environment of mortgage broker is, it's very fast paced. It is full on at times, but keeping your customer updated throughout every step of the process is mandatory. Sometimes you can tell a customer, this is the process, this is what we go through, this is, I will call you in 7 to 10 working days once we hear back from the bank, but they'll still call back every couple of days and go, what's happening? And again, it is an overwhelming process, but we are here for our customers every step of the way, and we're available.
what's been your sort of highlights, or is there certain ones that you remember that perhaps you didn't think would get over the line, but something you managed to do something in those moments?
My biggest highlights would be when I started back in 2020 and was going through pre-qualification process with some clients and gave them some advice as what they needed to do to enable them to get onto the property ladder. And some of those clients have come back to us last year. I mean, change, the transformation from seeing them have significant amount of debt, different jobs now, and improving their income, they've got their savings, and seeing them actually come to me saying, last time you told me to do this, and the cool thing is I've got these notes, this is what I've asked them to do, and they've come back and said, we've gotten rid of this, gotten rid of that, and then I remind them, this is what you had when I first spoke to you, and this is where you're at now, you can actually purchase the property. That is a game changer, seeing the transformation.
What do you think is the biggest challenge today for a mortgage broker?
The biggest challenge can be the banks and the turnaround times that we're experiencing, the changes in the rules and the interest rates and what you can get from one bank versus another bank, and just keeping up to date with policy and things like that. So that is definitely challenging, for mortgage advisors.
So what does a day in the life of Tapri look like? I've got visions of you jumping out of bed straight onto the treadmill with the Asahi bowl eaten while you're running, then racing in to pick up the phone. No?
Interesting, Stephen, is I have started to sort of record me going to the gym in the mornings and things like that, and then put a different spin on it. I might post something about me being at the gym, but then talking about a particular subject each day, and it's gotten a lot of interest, which is great. People want to understand what the day in the life of a mortgage advisor looks like, and it is fast paced, but sometimes we have our periods where it can be slow, and it depends on what's happening in the market. So I know that the market has definitely picked up significantly, and we've got applications on the go. We're being a lot more proactive with you mentioned before, how often should you review your mortgage, with people wanting a lower interest rate now. So they're wanting to see if they'll make savings and asking us to calculate the differences and whether it is worth it. If there's a benefit to the client, we will let them know. And it's mostly through letting them know what the savings are, also talking about cash incentives if they move to a particular, if they move to a particular bank. So, yeah.
Busy days then.
Very busy. It is busy, but we are here to answer our clients' questions and provide advice, and it's up to them at the end of the day. But your mortgage broker must be able to provide a benefit to refinance you, or a benefit of getting on the property ladder, whatever that looks like for you. Everyone has a different situation and a different goal. We as mortgage advisors need to understand the goals and objectives of our clients.
Do you ever say no, like, I won't even put that application in, it's just not ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I guess that's protecting your credibility with banks.
Yep. Yeah. Reputation is everything. So I, for example, examples where I have said to clients, look, you're just not ready yet, where they can afford to get onto the property ladder because they've got really good income, but then they have a massive amount of consumer debt. And that, to me, and sometimes their account conduct hasn't been that great. Now, if a bank looks at their income and they service, then a lot of the times I'll get the loan, but they're just going to, I don't want to put them in a position where they're going to experience that financial hardship because they can't manage their money. So first and foremost, I will ask them to start, to get rid of some of the debt.
What about investors? We focused a lot tonight on first home buyers. We've got a few minutes left. What about an investor looking at buying their second, third, fourth property? Is there something different they need to do or be prepared for when applying?
Well, it is a great market to be purchasing property. Like I said, there's a lot of stock on the market. In terms of deposits, so they can leverage off their existing home if they have equity in the existing home. If they're buying a already built home, so not a new build, you need 30% equity or deposit. So you need to be able to apply that. If you don't have that, then you could potentially look at a new build where you only are required to have 20% deposit for a new build. And yeah, so those are the things that you need to consider. Have you got equity in your existing property? And then you can leverage. What we are experiencing is property prices or the property valuations haven't been that great. So if you bought back in 2020 and are expecting to purchase, not a lot of equity. Some property prices have actually gone back backwards. Yes. But it is, like we say, it's time in the market. You know, it is having the time in the market. So that would have only been, what, 3, 4, 5 years ago. It's staying, you know, you buy property for the long-term gains. And when you're buying an owner-occupied property, like for me, I wasn't looking at the investment opportunity. I was purely looking at a home for my family. You know, the safety, security for my family. I didn't want to be governed by a landlord. I didn't want to be moving around. And so I think people forget that. Why do people actually want an owner-occupied property? It is generally to secure their family and provide stability.
Are you able to crystal ball and tell us what the future looks like market-wise? Can you see from, you know, the mortgages coming in that the tide is turning back again?
The tide is definitely turning, and that we have obviously a lot of interest in people wanting to purchase or wanting to understand what their borrowing power is now. We are expecting interest rates to, I mean, you know, like economists have been saying, interest rates will be the lower fours by the end of the year, early next year. Who knows? It just depends on, you know, if we're getting a lot of people wanting to borrow funds, and if we get a lot more buying homes, then obviously it's going to, you know, the supply and demand situation is going to change. It's going to push the demand of properties up, and that will push the prices up as well.
You've been with us since day one of Property Matters back 4 years ago. What do you think's been the biggest change that you've seen as a mortgage broker in those 4 years?
Well, the biggest change has been to policy, I think. It's sort of understanding like what this bank wants versus what that bank wants, and making sure that we're keeping up to date. Legislation has changed. We went from the banks being really strict with their lending, and then now they've alleviated a lot of those changes. And you know, like they're talking about how many coffees you have a week and how that's going to impact your borrowing, and it's not a good look. Whereas now the banks aren't even looking at that.
Thank goodness.
Worried about that. So, yeah, thank goodness for that. I mean, generally life happens, and if somebody has allocated their, you know, if they've got their income, they've allocated it towards savings, and they show that they buy 10 coffees a week, if they can afford it, then absolutely fine. So I say to our customers is, don't worry about that. Let us do the assessment for you as mortgage advisors, and yeah, and we'll go from there.
Brilliant. How can people get in touch, find out more and follow you?
You can follow us on Instagram, Hewitt Mortgages on Instagram, or go directly to our website, hewittmortgages.co.nz.
And does it cost anything for anybody to get an approval from you?
No obligation. There is no cost. Like I said, we are paid by the banks, but if we do end up, if there is a fee, we will let you know up front. But 95% of the time, there is no fee.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on once again. Really appreciate it. We'll look forward to catching up with you again probably later in the year.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. If you've got a question for Tapri or any of our guests, email us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. We'll pass them on for you so that you can get in touch. And up on our Facebook and socials throughout the week, you'll find out all their contact details and how you can get in touch with Tapri and her team. That's it for this week. Have a fabulous week out there. Stay safe on the roads. We'll catch you next week on Property Matters. Take care.